Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kelly. Kelly here, 6:06. It is the 11th of June. And got a very interesting show today for you. I have coming on Sheriff Kiki Vigil, and also Mark D'Antonio is going to be coming on, the district attorney. So they're supposed to be here around 7 o'clock. And so it's going to be a very interesting show. Now, in the meantime, I've got some pretty amazing stories here for you, and some good, some strange. But I've got. Let me give you some headlines first. Foreign governments pay Senate leaders to sell Obama trade, which is very weird. Paul Ryan, who was recently running for president next to Mitt Romney, he apparently got irritated with critics of his of the trade bill and said you can because they've said that people have not read the bill, that it's been kept in private. The chief Obama trade proponent, House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Representative Paul Ryan, admitted during congressional testimony on Wednesday evening that despite tons of claims from him and other Obama trade supporters to the contrary, it is a highly secretive process, and he said you can read it when it's passed. So I'm really absolutely just baffled by these people that go into public service and then claim to be representing not just a party, but the party's spirit and ideas, and then turn around and do stuff like this. You'll read Obama trade after we pass it. So I guess representative government in the traditional sense is dead and gone in America. It's absolutely baffling why these guys would allow themselves to go down the road. I mean, I don't know if Paul Ryan realizes that this really, if this is what he stands for, how could he possibly run for president or vice president or anything else again? I don't understand this. Let me ask you this. Why would you, even if you could do something like that, why would you want to do it? What would motivate a person to try to, the criticism of Pelosi and Obamacare and everything was that people would not, thousands of pages long and 2,000 pages long or whatever. Nobody really knew what was in it. But it's a good bill. We're going to pass it, and then you can read it. Why would you want to? I mean, it really makes these guys seem like they're all elites, not just the far leftists, and it's very troubling. I find it somewhat bizarre, very bizarre, to be totally honest. I don't know. I'm completely baffled by that. Record numbers of Americans renouncing citizenship in the first quarter of 2015. Why would that be? In my opinion, people are starting to get the feeling, or have had the feeling for a while, that things are totally out of control in America and are never going to come back to normal. We're never going to have free speech the way that we used to have it in the country. Christians are under attack. Christianity is being dismissed. Things like Bruce Jenner, the sex change, the gay marriage, gay adoption, all these different things. So many different things. The immigration position of the government. And there's a wonderful article by Ann Coulter saying the only thing that's dominating in the media is Bruce Jenner. The biggest thing that's going on in America is immigration. It is quickly changing the face of America, literally. It's changing the knowledge of the base of the people that are here and their party orientation. And she pointed out, except for one race in 1964, the Democratic Party has, in terms of white voter support, has lost every single election since then. And the only way that they can continue to stay into power is to do things like this. But there was a town that they had mentioned that was mentioned a couple of days ago on the Drudge Report that said they were 5%. Hispanics were at 1.5%. The population, 37%, some town in Kansas or whatever. It's happening across the United States, and this is not obviously Hispanic Americans. These are foreigners who are coming in without any knowledge of the Constitution, American history, without understanding of the language and the culture. And so these people are going to radically change America, and that is the big issue here. I mean, the fact that it's legal is one angle on it, but I think the real thing that's going on is that the identity of America is being taken away. America is being told that it's a bad place. We've been a bad player in the history of the world, and so we've got to. It's over, you know, that, and that the current administration will do anything that they can to change the identity of the country, and then, you know, and then whatever, you know. So, but what does the left want? I mean, you know, what is the far left? What the elites want? And what does Paul Ryan want? What does the elites of the left and the right want? It's baffling. But one of the things that the elites want is for, you know, gender to be treated as a superficial thing. It's just an aspect of the mind. I'm going to come back. We're going to talk about this issue that's going on. I've got Bob Costas, of all people, who's actually a very liberal guy himself. He's anti-gun. He has criticized Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, as being the sportsman of the year, which I totally agree with, because Bruce Jenner has not played any sports for decades. And when he was playing sports, he received all of the, you know, he got all the accolades for breaking the world record in the decathlon. What is the purpose of claiming him to be the sportsman of the year? You know, you might as well name, what's his face, O.J. Simpson, who hasn't played ball for a long time but has been in the media. It is weird to see what's happening in the country. The change is happening so fast, and how many people identify fast change in society with good outcomes? I mean, you know? Anyway, 6:15 on the button. This is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and we will be back after a break.
Okay, how many ads have we played already? One, two, so you want two more minutes or so? Actually, actually, I don't want to move them, really. I want to delete them. Done.
It is Kelly here, and I was just mentioning to you this thing that happened with Caitlyn Jenner and Bruce Jenner and Bob Costas. Now, Bob Costas is a very liberal guy. He's a very, very popular and successful broadcaster, and he slammed the choice of the Courage Award, ESPY. Check this out. I am just absolutely astounded that, I don't know, I just, things are changing so quickly in this country, and I don't see that it's benefiting us. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Greg.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
All right, here's my take on this. Call me a sophisticated hater. Here's what Bruce Jenner has done. He comes out claiming that he's now Caitlyn, and the people stand up and they cheer this, and they say he's exercising his civil rights. Along the way, here comes a person out of Nampa and says, well, you know what? I enjoy having sexual relations with children under five. The people are going to stand up and cheer and say he's exercising his civil rights. Sooner or later, somebody's going to come out and say, well, you know what? I really love having my relationship with my sheep. And the people are going to stand up and cheer and yell, he's exercising his civil rights. Well, did King David prophesy when he said in Psalm 9, verse 17, all nations that forget God will be turned into hell. We're on our way, Kelly.
That's absolutely astounding. I mean, it is just so, it is breathtaking. And I mean, I'm sorry that Bruce Jenner has a psychological issue that he's dealing with. He doesn't obviously have a physical issue. His problem is, in his mind, he's a woman, but he admits he's a lesbian. He's still interested in women. It is very bizarre, but I hear you on this King David warning. I don't see how this is all going to have a positive outcome.
There will be no positive outcome. As a matter of fact, as far as I understand, he's not going to have his genitalia removed. So you got to remember, he's going to be going to court now for killing that woman on PCH while he was playing with his phone. Maybe he can put on a fashion show for the inmates that he'll be staying with.
Well, I mean, it's a civil trial. He wasn't charged criminally.
Well, maybe they'll take him for everything that he's got. You know, they want to put him on a reality show now. They want to celebrate his civil rights.
He's worth the guy's worth $100 million, but I just think that what do you tell a kid who's growing up in this culture? What do you tell him about being a man or a woman?
The people here in this age are going to tell their kids, you know what? Just celebrate his decisions. The last church that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 is Laodicea. It so happens to be the church of civil rights. That's why I don't believe there's going to be a revival here in this country, Kelly.
Well, I mean, so you, according to you, you know the mind of God.
I believe what he says in a book that hasn't been changed or altered in a particular translation
readable. Greg, just for the sake of the argument, you're saying that you know that there's not going to be a revival in this country. How would you know that?
I'm saying I believe there's not going to be a revival in this country. We have kicked God out of this country since the early 60s.
All right, but on the
is that hard to believe, Kelly?
No, but I'm just saying that you know, from what I understand from the position of the theologian and the Bible historian, the church historian, that revivals oftentimes come to failed societies.
That's correct, but according, to this nation who has kicked God out of everything, public worship, service, how can it possibly be? Championing homosexuality, the killing of unborn children, all types of false religions. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I just don't see it.
I know, but I'm just saying it kind of contradicts. I mean, here you've kind of proposed an interesting contradiction here, because if a country was good, then they wouldn't need a revival. So, I mean, what you're basically doing is saying you're laying down the foundation for what it would take to need a revival. It would seem to me, I mean, for those those people out there that believe in the Bible, et cetera, the history of revivals is the history of the church.
I am going to be very surprised if we see it coming. I doubt it. On another note, I'll let you go. Concerning Paul Ryan and this, what we have to pass the bill first before you can see what's in it. He's taking the words right out of Nancy Pelosi. There really is no difference anymore as well with these parties. From what I understand, Mark Levin said a couple of days ago, included in that trade bill is climate change and open borders. That ought to astound you.
Well, I don't, you know, what can I say? If the country is going down, it's going down. But I've never seen anything like this. This is it's like a mass suicide. I'm just amazed at all the people that are going along with this. You look at Paul Ryan. Why would Paul Ryan say you can read this after we pass it? Doesn't he understand the fraught history of that quote?
I totally agree with you. It's unbelievable what these so-called conservative Republicans are doing. I think that you ought to change your bumper music and just start playing a REM's song, "It's the End of the World as We Know It," and I feel fine.
All right, Greg. Thanks for the call.
Greg,
one question.
Yeah.
Are you and your people that you are friends with praying for a revival, or you just kind of hang around to watch everything crash and burn?
Well, we basically, as friends that I associate with in and out of church, we're praying for people to come to the realization that Jesus Christ has paid once and for all the blood atonement for the sins, past, present, and future, and that they would make the decision on believing on him for eternal life. Not Pope John, not Mary, not Joseph, not Muhammad, not Buddha. There's nobody could take the place because of fulfilled prophecy of one man. He is our Redeemer. He's our Mediator. And as the Apostle said in Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Petitions to save you and your country, you're wrong.
Greg, that wasn't the question, as you know, but it sounds like you've given up on America.
Yeah, pretty much. I've told you that before.
Well, I would challenge you. I don't know anyone who's familiar with the history of revival that would take that position. Doesn't sound like a real biblical position, but maybe you're, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, the biblical position on revival is that the people have repented of their sins, personally, nationally, corporately.
That is that is a precursor, but before that, there has to be some sort of social collapse that would, you know, evoke the need for it, right? I mean, you can't have it both ways.
I see what you're saying. Okay, well, let's just wait for one more big bang, so to speak, and let's see if can get that revival kicked on.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Have a good day. All right, folks. If you believe in revival, the history of America is the history of revival. The Great Awakening was the immediate precursor to the American Revolution, and all of the ideas in the Constitution were first heard in pulpits across America, believe it or not. Stunning stuff, I realize. Kelly O'Connell, I'll be right back. It is Kelly here, of course, and real pleasant outside. It's getting warmer. It was hot yesterday. I mean, you got to admit it was pretty warm. It's 67 degrees right now. Although it even feels a little warmer than that, maybe around 70, but high today of 95, low of 66. This whole issue of this naming of Caitlyn Jenner, the Courage Award, do you agree? I mean, I understand that it would take a certain level of chutzpah to get get your Adam's apple shaved or a couple of nose jobs or implants if you're a guy, or to get your genitals removed. Although, from what I understand, I think Greg is right. They're not removing people. They're not going to remove his genitals. He's claiming this is what it is. For those of you who are trying to figure out what's going on here, Bruce Jenner is really transitioning into a lifelike transgender. Transsexual is where you get your sex change. Transgender is where you identify with the other gender, or a third gender, as they say, Bruce Jenner. And so he inside himself sees himself as a woman and yet is still attracted to women. And this is one of the things that I told you, is that a large percentage of these people, these men who get actual sex changes, see themselves as women and are in their minds lesbians. Now, whether a real lesbian would want a guy that had become a fake woman, I don't know. But unless you think that's what it really means to become a woman, is to get an operation. And if so, where's the babies? You know? All right, so here is a little bit from Jerry Seinfeld, who is sick of the creepy political correctness. He says, it really bothers me. And my question is, when are we going to fight back against political correctness? The answer could be right here. And this is Seth Meyer, by the way, the Seth Meyer show, this late night show. All right, so this goes on a little bit farther, but let me just make the point here. Jerry Seinfeld, who's probably the most successful comedian of his generation and is going to be a billionaire after his shows hit Hulu, from what I understand, he's worth like $600 million right now. That was the show, Seinfeld is the show that he created with Larry David, and then he ended up writing most if not all of the shows, so he was involved in the production as well. There is something that tremendously evil that has happened to this culture, and it is associated with political correctness. And political correctness is this set of ideas that I can tell you that if you've listened to the show long enough, you've probably heard this before. Political correctness is what's called social Marxism, believe it or not. And it came out of the Frankfurt School. The Frankfurt School was a group of professors who came out of Germany. Hitler was going to kill them. They moved to America. Hitler's fascism was in conflict with Germany's, or these people's Marxism. So the upshot is that they realized that Marx was wrong about his idea that there was going to be a revolution. The people in capitalist societies were not unhappy with their lives, they were not going to so-called throw off their chains and embrace socialism and communism. So what they decided to do was inject it into the school system, into the university system, into the culture, and grow it that way. And it has been an extraordinary success. And I mean, a great number of the changes that we've gone through in the last few decades since the 1950s have been associated with this movement, which is now called political correctness. But what I want to know is if there is now a right to all this stuff. Where does it come from? I mean, you know, it's so baffling. Anyway, we will take a break here and be right back and talk about this a little bit more. Kiki and Mark coming after the break on the hour. K Kiki V. Hill, the sheriff, and Mark D'Antonio, the district attorney. It's going to be a hot show. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning. This is one of your listeners every morning.
Hey, what's going on?
And I'm wondering if for a topic you can maybe one day do a little bit of research on the two groups of men that meet once a month, and they're just the most powerful people in Las Cruces.
Who are they?
Some of them are the Eichards. Some of them are the Stallmans. There's two groups. One is called the Day Group. And basically, the owner of American Linen is also in it. Basically, they just discuss new businesses that are coming into Las Cruces, how to get those, you know, to get those contracts before anybody else.
Okay.
And it's, you know, I've heard a few things about it, but maybe, I don't know, maybe some more of your audience knows more about it.
All right. Let me look into it.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Take care. Kelly here. Good morning to you. And so anyway, there's an open letter that was sent to Seinfeld by a college student. And basically in the open letter, and this is from Huffington Post, an open letter to Jerry Seinfeld from a politically correct college student. And basically what this guy says is, I understand your problems with PC. I have some problems with PC too, but that, you know, Seinfeld said that he didn't want to come on college campuses anymore because there's so much political correctness that you can't tell jokes without offending people and having them boo and, you know, try to block you, try to have you removed from the stage or block you from coming. And to him, it's not worth it. This guy says, you know, if you tap down into PC, what you'll find there is a core of truth. Now, that's where I would disagree. We live in a nation that has free speech or freedom and liberty as the foundation. If one group comes in, let's just say it was the Christians or the Muslims or the Jews or anybody, a religious movement comes in and says, we know what the truth is, and we're going to force everybody else to acknowledge it, there would be widespread outrage and panic, and there would be a call to remove these people from the country, I'm sure, or at least get them back in their corner. Now, we've got another group of people, this political correct crowd, that says that they know what the truth is, and they're going to force everybody else to accept it, and it's created a ghetto. It's created a cultural ghetto in which people have to be so careful about what they say so that they don't offend others. And we all have been, enculturated by this. We've all had to adapt to this. And some people think it's a great idea. Other people will smile, but underneath they're very upset. And there might be, you know, a large group of people that are indifferent, but it is taking further and further steps, kind of establishing itself into our culture. And the question is, where is there going to be a pushback? So the pushback has got to happen at some point if we're going to save the culture, because what's the logical conclusion of all this, you know? 523-1450. Now, I've got a recording here of someone who's asking supporters of the president to sign up for a petition to nuke Russia, which is totally bizarre, but people are actually stopping and signing it. It must be in California. It's on the, looks like it's on the waterfront down there. But I got to ask you, if you might, I mean, is there not a portion of people that are supporting political correctness who themselves don't see themselves in danger of being eaten by this machine? I mean, where does it stop? It is what Jerry Seinfeld said. It's taking more and more steps. It's moving. More and more things are being defended. More and more things are, yeah. I mean, we're getting a smaller and smaller area where we can talk, and it's affecting art. It's affecting communications and broadcasting and education and public policy. And for example, the military. The military has been affected by proportional engagement, which is you can't bring in more firepower than your enemy has. I mean, it's just, and that's a politically correct idea. So it is a semi-religious movement, as I've been telling you. And the outcome is going to be dire, in my opinion, if we don't push back like Jerry Seinfeld. Now, here's this guy getting people to sign up for a preemptive nuclear strike against Russia to push them back. Check this out. That's totally bizarre. This is the best one. All right, so the guy said, I hope the president doesn't disappoint me. I think that if you went anywhere in the country, you could find people who'd be willing to sign something like this because the level of education in our population is so low. And I think that's why the politicians at the highest levels are getting away with stuff. You know, they want to bring in another bill that is not going to be read. We're going to sign it. It's got immigration implications. Are we signing into a multi-nation treaty on trade that preempts American law? We don't know because they're not going to show us the law before it's passed. We're at this. We've been told this before, and the outcome was disappointing. Now we're being told it again, but by Paul Ryan, who ran for the vice presidency of the United States. It seems to me at the highest level, these politicians, there's no difference. And so we got to stand up for ourselves. Anyway, we're going to be doing that in the next hour. I've got Sheriff Kiki Vigil on here and Mark D'Antonio, the district attorney. We're going to talk about pushing back against a corruption and misuse of the government's infrastructure that is harming Dona Ana residents. It's harming you. It's harming me. And we're in. So I talked to Mark and I talked to Kiki, and they said, we want to come on the show. We want to talk about this because we feel that the Dona Ana residents are getting short shrift here, and we want to let people know what's going on and let them know how we're standing up for them. Now, it is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. It's going to be a hard-hitting show, so buckle your seatbelts. We're going to take a break for the hour and be right back. Kelly O'Connell, and it is 6:59 on the button. Well, good morning. It's Kelly. It's 7:06. It's about 70 degrees outside on the 11th of June, and we've got a big show here, although one of the people in the room is yawning. But I won't say who it is. But we got Mark D'Antonio, we got Kiki Vigil, and we got Pablo in the house. And good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
So anyway, I have been gathering some facts on what's going on in Dona Ana County, and to be totally honest, I'm shocked by some of the stuff I've heard. So, Kiki, what are some of the things that we've found out up to date in terms of the county investigation on the the scam? What do we know so far, just briefly?
Well, more and more we're finding out this case is it's a perplex case because there's multiple defendants involved in this scheme, you know, to defraud the government, the IRS, and also county government. So it's like a it's like an onion, you know, peeling one layer when you find another. So we are going to get to the bottom of it. It is these defendants are linked to a cell operating out of Juarez,
and we don't know where the cell comes from. Some people have said it's kind of a rogue cell. The other people are saying that I've heard that it could be related to the cartel, and I know that you don't know yet where it's situated.
No, not at this point, but we do know that it does originate out of Juarez, Mexico.
Yeah, that's very strange. And you feel like it's going to be more and more things are going to be uncovered on this scam?
I'm pretty sure I will. I have this gut feeling, and usually my gut feeling is correct.
Okay.
Working with law enforcement for the last 25 years.
All right. There's a couple of things on my mind. You guys can pick up whatever you want. There's three things on my mind. Number one is the scam. The second one is the battle in the county to get funding for the sheriff. And the third one is the DA's, and I know you're involved in this too, the White Collar Crimes Commission. So what do you guys want to cover first? Mark, I think your mic is not working. And it sounds like, we need to do a little switcheroo with you and Paul, I think. But Kiki, the White Collar Crime Unit has already paid off. So now, is the White Collar Crime Unit got this information about the county commission or the county clerk scam out?
Yes, it was already in place prior to the arrest of these defendants and prior to the investigation. So it is effective. And as I was telling you earlier, right before I got on the air, imagine what we could do if we had the sufficient funding. Yeah. I am low in personnel and detectives. So imagine if I had the monies for my budget.
Well, look, this is something very weird that came up. I know we're down $4 million that was put into the budget and then taken out at the same time.
Well, I'm still going to see if I'm still going to get that money that from the GRT, that 1/8 that got earmarked for the Sheriff's Department for salaries, increases in salaries to all my staff there at the Sheriff's Department, and also for equipment. I'm going to see if I'm still going to get it.
How much would that be?
Roughly about 4.5 or so.
But I thought we were told that it was not available this year, this coming year.
It'll be available, part of it, sometime towards so late fall, some of it. So I will then see if I'll be getting it. Now, I do want to touch bases on some more towards the end of the budget year. July is the first month of the budget year. June is last. Well, just within the last 3 weeks, I found out that I hadn't, according to our books at the Sheriff's Department, we still had approximately about $2.7 million left in our budget. And our books matched with the books from the county side, from the county managers, from their budget analyst. Well, it came out that this $2.7 million was no longer there, you know. It was like in a sponge fund, you know. I'm still perplexed what they mean by sponge fund. And this is coming from the finance director, Bill Nolan.
Bill Nolan said there's a sponge fund?
Yes, that's the term he uses.
Is it related to deep sea scientific research or something? I mean, what's a sponge fund? SpongeBob or I don't get it. Okay, so $4 million and they put it into the budget. They sell the tax increase on funding the sheriff's office. So you were going to get about a third of that increase, $12 million increase. Then it turns out they put it in and take it out at the same time. That's where we're at right now. in addition, now $2.5 million more bucks is missing.
Well,
that's $6.5 million.
Well, the 1/8, the gross receipts tax that I'm supposed to receive, probably be receiving it. I'm hoping that I will receive this, at least partial of it, because it's going into effect come next month, July, the gross receipts tax. So I'll see part of that money, hopefully. You know, I'm crossing my fingers. I'll see part of that money come late this fall. Now, what really I'm upset is that $2.7 million that I still had left in my budget that I can't even use up. So, you know, we had an emergency meeting with the county manager and also with the finance director, Mr. Bill Nolan. And it came out that, yes, this money is there, but it's in a sponge fund.
What is a sponge fund? Did you ask him for a definition?
Oh, well, he went in circles. He couldn't really give me a definite answer. And it's like this every time when he appears before the county commissioners. When they do ask him about this, he goes in circles and he doesn't give a definite answer. So does this money exist or where is this money?
I'm looking up sponge fund right now on Google. One of the things that came up, Sponge Fund LLC is a Nevada domestic limited liability company filed on August 20th, 2009. I wonder if that's, maybe they've invested in a company in Nevada. Now, seriously, what is a sponge fund? All right, so this is how I would interpret sponge fund. It is just general spending, anything you want to use it for, anything that you consider it to be high priority enough, you're going to put the sponge fund money into it, right?
Well, you know, what I'm thinking is that they're using this term as sponge fund for this money they've told me that does not exist in my budget. But at the same time, they told me it's there, but you can't use it. And this is what's going to happen is that come next year on my budget, they're going to come back and say, the sheriff's department had a balance of $2.7 million that they did not use. So guess what? We're going to cut them. They didn't use this $2.7 million. So his budget will be $2.7 million short.
But they were talking about before you came in that there was not enough pay. There was not enough money for pay or equipment. So, but that is, I mean, that doesn't make any sense because they would have used that $2.7 million for paying equipment, right? I do it in communications, in infrastructure.
Well, I had already submitted some requests to purchase some equipment, equipment that we need there in the office. And if we set a priority list that we need an equipment. And then a couple of weeks ago, I find out that there's no money. And our books match their books that we still have $2.7 million. And according to them, it's in a sponge fund. And that's why I'm trying to find where does this sponge fund exist? Where's this money?
All right. Well, what doesn't make sense to me is if the budget was short for pay and equipment, it doesn't make any sense that they would say that there wasn't $2.7 million that wasn't spent because they would have spent that money on pay and equipment, right? I mean, that.
Well,
what am I missing here?
Well, that $2.7 million, I would have been able to use it for purchase of equipment.
But this is what I'm trying to get
yes.
to find out is the last administration didn't use $2.7 million of their money? Or it was earmarked for something specific that they didn't use it for?
Well, actually,
I don't understand.
Last year, what they did is they took, if I'm not mistaken, $1.5 or $1.7 million from the former sheriff, Todd Garrison, from his budget. And they basically told him, and it's in the minutes, we will return that money back to your budget. So far, I've not seen a dime of that.
Dang, this is weird. This is a very weird story that keeps getting more strange. And somewhere between Lynn Ellens and Billy Garrett, there must be the truth.
You know, there's some fuzzy math going around up there in
yeah.
There at the finance department.
You know what? It sounds like hippie math to me. But that's just my take on it. We'll take a little break here. 717 Kelly O'Connell. And real nice outside, maybe around 70 degrees, high of 95, low in the mid-60s. And this is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. Kelly here, 721, about 70 degrees outside. And I've got Mark D'Antonio in the studio and Kiki V. Hill. And we're talking about money that has, we don't know where it is in the budget. It's called sponge funds. $2.7 million of sponge funds?
Yes, there's $2.7 million that I still had left in my budget for the end of this budget year, and I was encumbering some of this money, trying to encumber some of this money for
what
equipment.
What does encumber mean? Spend?
Spend. Yes. All right. To use some of this money for equipment that I need, and all of a sudden, the finance director at the came out and told me you don't have any money, so. When I found out about that, we had an emergency meeting with the county manager and with Mr. Bill Nolan, the finance director. And we brought it to his attention and stated, our books match with your books. You know, we still have $2.7 million left. Now you're telling us we don't. Where is this money? It's in a sponge fund. So what is a sponge fund? That's my question. Where is this money? Why don't I have access to this money? It is part of my budget.
If you wrote a check for it right now, let's say you bought 20 cop cars, what would happen if you put out a check? It would bounce, right?
Yes, but when I.